As we mentioned, Ian Michael Chappell will be our special guest, our legend of the game, after 8 o'clock.
I'm Sarah Warmby. Australia's relationship with America will become stronger with the arrival of new US President Donald Trump, according to a former US ambassador to Australia. Mel Sembler said Australia and other US allies had been unable to fully depend on former President Barack Obama, but Trump and a beefed-up US military would enhance and solidify alliances. Mr. Sembler said Australia had nothing to fear. Meantime, women's rights groups are descending on Washington, D.C. to march and express fears their positions will be eroded under a Donald Trump presidency. The BBC's Naomi Grimley has more.
The organisers say that more than 600 marches will be held in almost 60 countries on six continents around the globe. The aim is to warn President Trump that his policies and his own behaviour towards women will be under scrutiny from day one of his administration. But the organisers are stressing that men are welcome to join in too, and they say they want the marches to be a broader symbol of why tolerance and diversity matter in the modern world.
Back home, and a motorcyclist has died and two people have been injured in a crash in a Melbourne beachside suburb. The motorcyclist clipped a car turning into a car park in Black Rock at about 4:30 yesterday afternoon, causing the motorbike to smash into another motorcycle carrying two people. The man and woman on the second bike received non-life-threatening injuries, while the rider of the first bike died at the scene. A scuba diver mauled by a shark in the Torres Strait has suffered significant abdominal injuries before travelling around 4 hours by boat to a medical centre. Emergency services were notified of the 55-year-old man's mauling around midday yesterday. The Queensland Ambulance Service's Far North Region Operations Centre Supervisor Kirk Binnington told AAP the man lost a lot of blood from injuries in his arms, chest and stomach, but was stabilised by a medically trained person on board. A rescue helicopter attempted to assist but was hampered by bad weather. The man is recovering from surgery at the Thursday Island Hospital. Police in the Netherlands say seven people have been arrested over a $100 million diamond heist. The BBC's Tom Singleton has more.
In February 2005, an armed gang disguised as airport workers hijacked a lorry at Amsterdam's Schiphol Airport and stole its cargo of gems. It was one of the world's biggest ever jewellery heists. And though the truck was discovered in a nearby town and some of the diamonds recovered, the people behind the robbery have never been found. Now the Dutch police have announced five men and two women are in custody in relation to the crime. They say the arrests were made after new information came to light and more may follow.
And the bodies of 89 people thought to be soldiers killed by Islamic State have been found in a mass grave in Iraq. Officials say the grave was found in the grounds of a presidential palace complex in the city of Tikrit, which was recaptured from IS in March 2015. The soldiers were captured by IS while fleeing a nearby military base during the mid-2014 offensive in which Islamic State captured much of northern and western Iraq. This is News. Rafael Nadal was pushed to the brink at the Australian Open before finally breaking German teen Alexander Zverev, dubbed the future of tennis and the present too by the Spanish Ironman. The ninth-seeded Nadal came from two sets to one down to win 4-6, 6-3, 6-7, 6-3, 6-2 in an epic third-round encounter which lasted 4 hours and 6 minutes yesterday. Nadal will now turn his attention to the headline fourth-rounder encounter tomorrow against Gael Monfils, the world at number six. Serena Williams is into the fourth round, beating fellow American Nicole Gibbs, and Aussie Daria Gavrilova has won a three-set marathon against Switzerland's Tamia Bucinski to advance to the fourth round for the second straight year. There were no excuses and no recriminations from Phoenix co-coach Des Buckingham after a late lapse left Wellington 1-0 losers to Brisbane Roar at Westpac Stadium yesterday. It was the third game in 8 days for Wellington following wins over Central Coast Mariners a week ago and Melbourne victory on Tuesday. But Buckingham said fatigue didn't play a part in the disappointing loss. He says it was a lapse in concentration. In the BBL, the Sydney Sixers have claimed a semi-final berth defeating the Melbourne Stars by 3 wickets. The Perth Scorchers won by 7 wickets in the other clash with the Hobart Hurricanes. And in cycling, Australia's Richie Port won Stage 5 of the Tour Down Under in Adelaide yesterday. The final stage of the race takes place this afternoon. Australian Independent Radio News.
When the traffic's going nowhere and you're stuck, then get carried away. Imagine you're relaxing with a glass of Sacred Hill wine. Try Sacred Hill Cabernet Merlot by De Bortoli. Here's the traffic.
Kickstart the year with a trip to Fiji. Fly return from $250 per adult. Hurry, limited seats, selected dates. Book now at fijiairways.com. Conditions apply. In the city, avoid Sussex Street right now. Just past Goulburn Street, southbound, a car accident has closed 2 of 3 lanes. If you're off to the airport, it's getting heavy on Mar Street to the International Terminal. Good run to the beaches north and south, although look out for roadworks on Pittwater Road around DYRSL and Howard Avenue. Save at Oz Design Furniture's New Year's sale with 20 to 50% off store-wide on all furniture and homewares ends tomorrow, in-store and online at ozdesignfurniture.com.au. I'm Solomon Gates, number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Sydney weather right now, for today, cloud clearing to a mostly sunny day. Light southeast wind becoming northeasterly 20 to 30 kilometres an hour in the afternoon. A maximum of 27 degrees. 0% chance of rain, so the ODI will go ahead as scheduled. What about the current temperature, Raymond, at Baulkham Hills? And then, given the fact they're racing there, Ballina.
Well, Baulkham Hills currently, Jimmy, is 20 degrees, heading for a top of 28.
Right.
Partly cloudy, no rain. Up at Ballina, though, chance of some rain today. It's currently 25, heading for a top of 26 degrees. There is some showers around. A little cheerio to...
It's currently 25.
Yeah, so it's not going to get much warmer. Yeah. Top of 26. A little cheerio to Joe Cleary. He's listening to the program to send us a little message before he's on the drive back from the Gold Coast. Would have been at the Magic Million sales.
What, and took a couple of days off?
There was a second part of the sale during the week, so I think it finished on Thursday. He might have taken a couple of days off. He's entitled to some time off.
Oh, yeah, fair enough.
Drive safely, Joe. I think he's going through Tweed Heads near the border now as we speak, so a bit of a drive ahead back to the nation's capital, but safe driving, Joe.
Anyone else on a drive today and would like to know what the weather's like coming up to where their destination
point?
Just
point.
Send us in an SMS, we'll try and accommodate
you. You're a thinker, Jane Smith, aren't you?
The new year will be packed with plenty of thrilling harness racing. Tuesday mornings, Greg Hayes brings you all the latest in On The Pace. Hear from trainers, drivers and industry officials. On The Pace, Tuesday mornings at 10:30 on Sky Sports Radio. Cream of Country 2017 is a cracker featuring Nashville's hottest hits. There's Chris Young with Cassidy Pope, Tip Moore, Carrie Underwood, Sam Hunt, Ben Smith, there's Kelsey Ballerini, Jake Owen, Jason Aldean, Brad Paisley and more. 22 of Nashville's hottest hits and stars, plus a big bonus DVD. Cream of Country 2017. Get it now.
Window shopping takes on a whole new meaning at Wideline.
Take a closer look at Wideline's showstopper of a showroom at Ricebury.
That's where you'll find an extensive range of residential, architectural and commercial aluminium windows and doors.
And you can't look past their timber windows and doors either.
Customer parking and a dedicated kids room make for hassle-free window shopping at Wideline.
Now open at 593 Botany Road, Rosebery.
Only 700 metres from Green Square Station.
Wideline.
They're on in line, they're off in the Kentucky Derby.
Hi, this is Greg Radley inviting you to join me on the trip of a lifetime with Ambassador Travel. The Kentucky Derby run at Churchill Downs should be on everyone's bucket list. We'll spend time in Los Angeles, Las Vegas and Lexington, the famous bluegrass region of Kentucky. Peter Harney and the team at Ambassador will look after your every need. Go to the website ambassadortravel.com.au or call 1-800-777-989. 1-800-777-989. See you at the Kentucky Derby.
And then came Flying Artie, the capitalist, the Magic Millions winners, drawn clear in the slipper. Yankee Rose home into second, but capitalist takes it out. Capitalist by a half length to Yankee Rose.
Panoramedi's put down. The silent sound. Panola have won it. 14-12. You can turn the light out now.
Goal, rebound tip taken by Spades. Final second.
On Sky Sports Radio, welcome to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Brought to you by Penrith Mazda, Mulgoa Road, Penrith. Here's your hosts, Jimmy Smith and Ray Thomas.
Welcome back to the program. Final hour, right up until 9 o'clock. And we're looking forward to our legend of the game coming up, former Australian Test captain Ian Chappell. It's a big hour too. Trent Lansgale after that. We'll have a chat with Peter Cruikshank. He is the owner-breeder of Olympic Academy, a winner yesterday at Royal Randwick. We'll get a sports update with Tanya. We'll also chat to Leo Schlink about the Australian Open. So lots going on this hour. We're talking about idiosyncrasies, though, aren't we? And what some sports people do. On the back of Brendan McCullum putting names of horses on his bats, we've got a few more that have come in. Big Marty Bella always had to sit in the front left side seat of the team bus on his way to games. That's from John from Moorbank. There you go.
Marty,
didn't know that.
Marty Bella's from Mackay.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of people used to have that sort of thing. And just on our caller, Adrian, Darren from Macquarie Fields says, if Adrian doesn't like the one days, don't watch them. Don't comment. How many times has he said the same things about the Bulldogs as well? Enough already. Yeah, but we like running him into the news or something like that, or fading him out, Darren. Yeah. So we like to have a little bit of fun with our callers. We're going to have a little bit of fun with our next guest. It's Ian Michael Chappell.
Big Sports Breakfast Weekend is brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the number one BT50 dealer in New South Wales. Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Well, it is a very famous name in Australian cricket, and he, of course, was one of the great Australian captains. And it's our pleasure to have him as our legend of the game today, Ian Chappell. G'day, Ian.
Good morning, guys.
Thanks very much for joining us on the program. We do appreciate it. Generally speaking, with our guests such as you, we like to go back and find out how they got involved in their chosen sport. I'd imagine it would have been very hard for you not to be involved in cricket, given the bloodlines.
Yeah, well, Mum's father was captain of Australia, so there was obviously something in the genes. Martin, our father, was a pretty decent club cricketer, played Claxton Shield baseball. So there was sport on both sides, and I can't remember, but pretty well from the time we could walk, there was bats and balls and around the house. We were never allowed to use a tennis ball. It always had to be a cricket ball or hard ball. Martin didn't want us to be frightened of a hard ball, which led to one quite funny incident. I'm not sure how old I was, but probably maybe two, somewhere around there. We're having a Christmas function, and one of the old aunties handed me a golf ball and said, throw the golf ball to Auntie, obviously thinking that I would just roll it along the ground. But little did she know that I'd been, by that stage, been taught how to throw properly.
You've been schooled.
Yeah. And I fired this golf ball, and Martin saw what was happening from the other side of the room. He ran across to try and head it off, but it was a bit late, and suddenly this golf ball's bouncing all around the room with the auntie ducking for cover.
Good morning, Ian. Look, thanks for joining us. And as Jimmy mentioned, obviously there were the genes there, as you said yourself, Ian, but growing up there must have been an appetite for sport, because I read where your grandfather, Victor Richardson, was giving you batting lessons when you were as young as 5 years old.
No, Vic always said you've got your own coach, which Martin organised. I can still remember to this day, we were playing Martin was playing at Unley Oval in Adelaide, and he said, sitting in the stand, and he said, come with me. And we walked up the back of the stand, and he introduced me to this old gentleman, a fellow called Lynn Fuller. And he said, look, I'd like to get Ian coached. And Lynn said, how old is he? And Martin said, he's five. What would be a good age to start getting him coached? And he said, I'll bring him down next Sunday. And so for every Sunday of the summer, and when I'm talking summer, I'm talking probably September through to April, from the time I was five till I was about 17, I would go to Lynn's every Sunday morning and get coached. Lynn would bowl to me. He did the same with Greg. He was getting on a bit, and he was too old when Trevor came along.
Right.
But, Martin sort of organised all that. So Vic said, look, you've got your coach. I'm not going to coach you on cricket, but he told me three or four things. One was, if you can't be a good cricketer, at least you can look like one. I think that might have fallen on deaf ears with me, but Greg took it up. Another one was, don't think that any tactics you try are new. He said it's like your old suit, you keep it long enough, it'll come back into fashion, which is pretty true, I found. And then he said, if you ever get the chance to captain a team, he said, don't captain like a Victorian.
Okay. I like the last one.
Right, the us New South Welshmen can appreciate that one.
Yeah. Well, don't worry, South Australians as well. You know, there was always the football rivalry as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, just on that, there's so many books that have produced now, and I've read a few of them about, you know, how do you... you know, turning good to great and all that sort of thing, and the 10,000 hours. And it sounds like, you know, with your brothers there that you did all that, plus your coaching. If there was one thing that you thought was most important to you becoming an international cricketer, what was it, Ian?
Oh, well, I've always said that I don't think you can be a really good sportsman unless it comes from inside, you know, in your heart, your guts, wherever, you know. I remember in the days when I was doing Wide World of Sports on a Saturday, and the Cricket Academy was just starting up in Adelaide.
Yep.
And there was some guy, I think his name was Harvey, from the Institute of Sport in Canberra. And he went down there for the opening, and I was going through these quotes, getting, you know, a story together for Wide World. And this guy said, what we do at the Institute is, he said, we take good sports people and we turn them into champions. And I thought to myself, bollocks, mate, you don't know the first thing, because it's got to come from the person himself. And I don't think without the true love of what you're doing, you can be, you know, a really top-class sportsman. Now, that may be changing because there's so much more money in the game now. There could be a young sportsman around whose sole aim is to, or not sole aim, but a big priority is to earn a living from the sport. You know, that's a big change since I was growing up. But I always felt that, you know, you really have to have the love of the game in your heart to play at your best.
You've got to agree with that. Ian, was that drive always there with you because you were a bit of a teenage prodigy and you made the test team, your first test as a 21-year-old in December 1964 against Pakistan. Was Ian Chappell ready for test cricket then?
I don't think I probably was quite ready at that stage. But, you know, it was a very good system that I grew up in, because you played in club cricket. I played with a couple of test players. Gavin Stevens and Graham Hull were both in the Glenelg side when I played, and they both played test cricket. There were a number of other Shield cricketers there. I played, and I think it was a very important innings in getting me into the stateside eventually. I played against Gary Sobers in a club game.
Wow.
and got runs. And then when you got to Shield cricket, you know, you played eight games a year, and five, probably six of them were going to be against test players in the opposition. So once you do that for three or four seasons and you have a bit of success, you start to think to yourself, well, you know, I got runs against Davidson and Benno and Martin and Misson, you know, they're all test match bowlers. Maybe I've got a chance of succeeding at that level. Then once you get to the level, you've got to get, you know, I always thought that your first 100 probably convinced you, yes, I am good enough to play at this level. So I think it took me a little while to have that belief.
What about the change from batting in the middle order to batting at three and the added responsibility? It seemed that was something that you thrived on, Ian. Is that right?
Well, Martin had a grand plan. I'm not sure what age he told me this, but Trevor's 9 years younger than me, so you know, I was probably 14, 15 at this stage. And Martin said, you'll bat at three, Greg will bat at four, and Trevor will open the batting. And he said, in the winter, you'll catch, Greg will play shortstop, and Trevor will pitch.
They had it all worked out.
And it pretty well worked out that way, yeah. And what I'm not sure if this was part of his grand plan, but we all went to Prince Alfred College in Adelaide, which has got a terrific history in cricket. Four Australian captains from Prince Alfred College, plus I think about 9 or 10 test players. But the thing that was probably more important than that was across the road from Prince Alfred College was a brewery. And so for 250 days of the 5 years I was there, the smell of hops was wafting across the classroom, you see. And I always tell the story that this was ideal training for touring with Marsh and Walters later in life.
You needed that.
So, but I don't know if that was really part of Martin's grand plan. Yeah.
Well, you just mentioned a couple of names there. And in the early 70s, Ian, it was, a golden era in Australian cricket. I was growing up and some of the players in that test team have become household names still to this day. And it was a tremendous team, but a team of change. And that 72 tour of England, I think, was is often regarded as a turning point in Australian cricket, Ian.
Yeah, I think that's pretty true. I thought the watershed match actually was not the win at Lord's, although that was very important.
Bob Massey's test, yeah.
Yeah, Bob Massey took 16. Greg got 100, which is often overlooked because of Massey's 16 wickets. But Greg, I think, always describes it as his best innings technically. That was important because we hadn't won for, I think, about 11 tests. So, obviously, it was important to get a victory. It was probably pretty important for me too because I'd lost the first two tests that I'd captained. But to me, the watershed match was the Oval, which is the last test of that series. We thought we were the better side in that series, but we lost at Headingley on the Fusarium pitch, which put us 2-1 down and meant that we couldn't win the Ashes back. But I remember saying to the guys, look, we think we're the better side, and I think we're the better side, but if we go home losing 2-1 or 3-1, I can't really spout that we were the better side. But if we go home 2-2, I think I can, safely say that. Mm. And the other reason why I always thought that was such an important win was it was so hard fought. Yep. It was a 6-day test, which in those days, if the result of the series could be changed by the last test, you played an extra day. So, and it went into the 6th day, we were chasing 240-odd in the last innings, and we got there after a pretty torrid fight.
Yep.
And England were on the wane, but they were still probably the best side in the world at that stage. So to have won that game in such hard-fought circumstances, I think that was the one that gave us the belief that having won that, we could beat anybody.
You're well placed to answer this one, Ian. How do you become a good captain in cricket? Is it innate? Is it from captaincy? Is it from experience? Or is it from learning from others? Or it's a bit of all of that?
It's a bit of all of that. Obviously, having had a grandfather who captained Australia, whilst he didn't coach any of us, I was, being a bit older, I was old enough to be at the family functions and listen to Vic talk and hear his stories. And, Vic had an aura about him. Mm. And, I admired him, one, obviously, because he was my grandfather, two, because he was, what he'd achieved in life. But three, I liked him very much as a person. And so I'm sure some of that sort of rubbed off. And he was a very aggressive player and captain. Yeah. And I heard that from a lot of his mates, like Fingleton and O'Reilly in the press, would often talk to me about Vic and how much they liked playing under him. Mm. Martin was a very aggressive cricketer, and I was old enough to be there when he played and remember a bit of that, both baseball and cricket. And then I played under Les Favell for South Australia, who was a very aggressive captain. And probably as important as anything, I was 16 years of age when I took over the captaincy of the school.
Yeah.
And that was 50, so where are we, 59, basically, end of 58, beginning of 59. And right at that stage, Richie Beno took over the Australian captaincy. And because I was a batsman who bowled a bit of leg spin, you know, that obviously appealed to me about Richie.
Yep.
And also, you know, watching him captain the side, I was old enough by that stage to understand what was going on, and his captaincy style appealed to me. And probably the other thing was Martin, when Martin used to take me to the cricket as a young bloke at the Adelaide Oval, he would tell me to watch this player, watch that player. Yeah. And he always picked aggressive players for me to watch. But the most important one was Miller. Miller was his idol, as he was probably everybody in Australia.
Yep.
But it was, watch Miller, look what Miller's doing. And I mean, Miller, Richie has always said that Miller is the best captain never to captain Australia. So, you know, there was a lot of learning. Martin, you know, we were doing homework all the time at home, but not on schoolwork.
Yeah.
It was cricket. You know,
yeah.
Martin was always asking us questions. Why did this happen? Why do you think that happened? What do you reckon here? So, you know, it was a tremendous atmosphere to learn. Then we had the matches in the backyard where you're sort of plotting and planning all the time. And then when I actually got the job, I got a hell of a shock to get the captaincy. I'd only captained South Australia probably five times, I think, at that stage. And I was actually vice-captain of Australia before I was vice-captain of South Australia.
Right.
But when I got the job, I thought, crikey, this is a tough job. You know, we haven't been winning under Bill. So hell, what the hell am I going to do? And then I thought about it a bit more, and I thought, well, hang on, this is not a bad situation. We haven't been winning under Bill, so if we don't win under me, well, everyone's going to say, well, you know, how's he going to win if Laurie couldn't win? And I thought to myself, if I happen to win a game or two, maybe they might think I'm a genius, and I might keep the job for a bit longer. Mm. And then the other thing I did, which was probably the most important thing I did, I wrote down the three captains that I played under. So Les Favell at state level,
yep.
Simpson, and then Bill Laurie at Australian level. And I wrote down all the things I liked about their captaincy, and I then, on the other column, I wrote down all the things I didn't like about their captaincy. I tried to do the things that I liked. I tried not to do the things that I didn't like. And then I said to myself, Ian, put your own stamp on the job. And so those things were probably, you know, the most important. To me, earning respect as a captain is critical.
I was actually going to ask you about that, Ian, because everyone regards you as an aggressive captain and a super leader for Australian cricket, but you had a team, you're developing a team that had some huge personalities.
Yeah.
You think of Dennis Lilly and Geoff Thompson, top of my head. You had to be a great man manager as well. Were they difficult to manage as people as well as cricketers?
No, they were easy, really. I mean, Dennis was not hard to motivate at all. In fact, you really didn't need to motivate Dennis, but if you felt that you did, you just had to say, hey, Dennis, no fast bowler's ever taken five wickets at the SCG on a Thursday when it's cloudy, you know.
You're firing.
And he said, well, we'll see about that, you know. So he wasn't too difficult. All you really had to do with Dennis was agree with him that, you know, if there was a problem with an umpire, let's say, if the umpire had spoken to me and saying, look, Dennis is doing whatever it is, you'd just go to him and say, listen, Dennis, the umpire's a dickhead and you're right. But the problem is, if he reports you and you get suspended, then we lose you for two or three games, and we can't afford that. So, look, if you just, you know,
pull your head in,
everything will be fine. But as long as you said that he was right, then you were fine. Tomo was easy, really. I mean, I thought Tomo was going to be a nightmare, but Tomo was he was easy. You just had to point him in the direction, give him the ball and let him go, really. I mean, geez, when you can bowl 100 miles an hour.
You let him go.
Yeah, just let him go. As sure as hell, if you're a bit worried as a captain, you
what
know
the
there's
doing?
At least one bloke out there who's more worried. That's the bloke holding the bat.
Absolutely. Yeah. Hey, Ian, we've got commitments that we've got to get to. We've got
we
so
need
much
part
stuff
two.
That
we
wanted to speak
end,
to you about. Yeah. I must ask you, though, the running of the Bulls at Pamplona, when was the last time you did that?
Oh, back in the 90s, I reckon, 93, somewhere around there, I reckon. Yeah.
How many times have you done it?
I went there three times, I think. Two or three, I've lost track a bit now. But I think I ran about four times in the trips that I've had there. But when I say ran, you know, there are some really brave blokes who run right next to the Bulls. And, mate, I was over in the gutter on the footpath. Don't worry about that. as far from the Bulls as I can get.
Yeah. Just quickly, in Channel 9's coverage today, can Australia win against Pakistan this afternoon in the ODI at the SCG?
Yeah, I think they will. Although SCG might be one of Pakistan's best chances, I think. Okay. But, I think eventually the Australians will wear them down.
Ian, it's been fantastic. Thanks very much for your time this morning.
Ian Chaplin again.
Yeah, enjoy the ODI this afternoon, and thanks again for being our legend of the game today.
Pleasure, guys. Thanks a lot.
Thanks so much,
Ian Chaplin, there, former Australian. Seriously, you could. There's part
to
two
World
and
Series
three.
Cricket.
No, World Series cricket. South
ask
Africa.
About his days in the commentary box with some of his old foes.
Standing up to the ACB, all of that sort of thing. We didn't get to it.
It was great. Yeah.
But a big thank you to Darshak Mehta from the LBW Trust, who helped organise that that interview for us. If you want to check them out, lbwtrust.com.au. Learning for a better world across the cricket community. Time now for a break. After the break, we'll come back and have a chat with Trent Lenskow.
Get a 10% Bingley gift card with any 4K UHD TV at Bingley. Yes, a 10% Bingley gift card with a 4K UHD TV. Here's the deal. Buy a TV with around 8 million tiny dots called pixels on the screen.
Lano, did you count them?
Mum, the tech guys did. And they call it 4K UHD, ultra high definition. Get a 10% gift card when you buy one at Bingley.
And there's a great deal more in store.
For a limited time only. Terms and conditions apply. See bingley.com.au for details.
Got him, yeah!
They've got the equaliser!
Why limit yourself to just one sport? Here at TAB, you can flick from sport to sport with our new everyday multi-specials. Preloaded with some of the day's best bets across leagues like the NBA, EPL and Big Bash, each multi is an opportunity to snap up huge potential winnings. Discover today's special on our app at tab.com.au or at your local. TAB, we love a bet. Gamble responsibly.
The annual Big Sports Breakfast Lunch is the hottest ticket on the sporting calendar. Join TK Slats and the Big Sports Breakfast crew for 2017's event. It'll be a fabulous afternoon with a host of your sporting favourites, including Craig Lowndes and Steve Roach, Friday, February 24, in the Big Top at Sydney's Luna Park. Tickets at $155 per person includes two-course lunch and drinks, drinks and more drinks. Why not get a group of workmates or friends together and book a table? Don't miss out. Book your spot at the Big Sports Breakfast Lunch now on 90337534.
The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend is brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the number one BT50 dealer in New South Wales. Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
With lips closed and eyes sealed.
All right, we've got Trent Lenskow on from tab.com.au. We've got the Australian Open going this morning. Good morning to you, Trent. Let's pick the eyes out of these next round of matches.
Good morning to you, Jimmy. And we'll just start with the ones at Rod Laver Arena from 11 o'clock this morning. Svetlana Kuznetsova is the $1.68 favourite against Anastasia Pavlyuchenkova at $2.10. Then after that, Venus Williams, $1.37 against Mona Barthel at $2.90. Andy Murray, well, he's $1.01. He should be getting through the quarterfinals against Misha Zverev at $15. And then tonight from 7 o'clock, this will be an absolute ripper. Roger Federer, $1.55 against Kei Nishikori at $2.45, and then following that, Angelique Kerber, the defending champion, $1.25 against Coco Vandeweghe at $3.75. Andy Murray, still the favourite after Novak Djokovic got knocked out on Thursday, to win the title at $1.95. And on the women's side, fellas, Serena Williams, the $2.50 favourite.
Yeah, some great tennis on. We just had Ian Chappell on, Trent. I don't know if you heard him, but he gives Pakistan some chance this afternoon in the ODI against Australia at the SCG.
Always SCG with the spin friendly, even though for one day you never know, Ray. But yet starting at 2:20 this afternoon, the day nighter, Australia $1.25 and Pakistan at $4. If you're interested in betting on the high bats for both the teams for Australia, David Warner and Steve Smith, they're the $3.50 equal favourites, and then Usman Khawaja at $4.50. While for Pakistan's high bat, Azhar Ali and Baba Azam, they're $4 equal favourites. And then you've got Muhammad Hafiz at $4.50 and Shahjil Khan at $5.
Football.
We've got one match left in round 16 of the A-League, Jimmy. Western Sydney, they're $1.75. This match being played at Campbelltown Stadium from 5 o'clock. They're up against Newcastle. In the EPL, there's three matches over, well, tonight into the early hours of the morning from 11 o'clock. Southampton, $1.75 favourites at home to Leicester City. Then you've got Arsenal, $1.17 at home to Burnley. And Chelsea, $1.17 at home to Hull City. And don't forget, fellas, the NFL Conference Championship games tomorrow morning from 7 o'clock. The Atlanta Falcons, $1.40 at home to the Green Bay Packers, and the New England Patriots, $1.36 against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Ray still upset about Dallas being knocked out.
The good guys are out.
There are plenty of other sports and other events happening, fellas, and you can check them all out at tab.com.au.
Great job, Trent. Appreciate that. 1353-53, the open line number. Time now for this. Yeah.
On the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, with a sports update, here's Tanya Thomas.
Day six night action at the Australian Tennis Open, and Daria Gavrilova made it through to the fourth round just before midnight with a 6-3, 5-7, 6-4 win over Swiss Timia Bachinova. Her next opponent will be Karolina Pliskova, who survived a scare against teenager Yelena Ostapenko. In other results, Rafael Nadal defeated German teenager Alexander Zverev in a tough five-setter, 6-2 in the third, that game going 4 hours and 6 minutes. Other winners last night, Milos Raonic over Gilles Simon and Gael Monfils over Philip Kohlschreiber. Today's matches include both number one seeds. Andy Murray takes on the other Zverev brother, Mishka, while Angelique Kerber takes on Coco Vandewedge. The big match, however, tonight sees Roger Federer versus Kei Nishikori. The Sydney Sixers leapfrogged the Melbourne Stars into third place on the BBL ladder after a miraculous win over the Stars by 3 wickets last night in the final match of the regular season. Sean Abbott not out on 33 from 17 balls, and Johan Botha 25 off 13. Turned the game around, the two smashing 27 runs off the final two overs to grab the win. The Sixers will travel to Brisbane to take on the Heat on Wednesday night, while minor premiers Perth host the Stars in the other semi on Tuesday night, the grand final on Saturday night. A-League last night, and Perth scored 2 late goals to beat Melbourne Victory 2-1. Brisbane had its first win in 5 matches, 1-0 over Wellington. Today the Wanderers are home to Newcastle. Adelaide showed why they are competition favourites with a comfortable 87-73 win over Sydney in the NBL game last night in Adelaide. In the earlier game, Brisbane beat Melbourne United 88-71. Richie Porte has a 48-second lead heading into the final stage today of the Tour Down Under cycle race in Adelaide. He will collect the Oka jersey at the end of the day. A pleasing result for the Aussie, who is racing for the first time since crashing out of the Rio Olympics 5 months ago in the road race. He said the tour was his first goal for 2017. In the English Premier League, Tottenham fought back from 2-0 down to level 2-2 with Manchester City. Wayne Rooney became Manchester United's all-time leading goal scorer with a stoppage time free kick, taking his total to 250, and that goal rescued the Red Devils to a 1-1 draw with Stoke. In other matches, Liverpool 2, Swansea 3, Bournemouth and Watford 2-2, Crystal Palace 0, Everton 1, Middlesbrough 1, West Ham 3, West Brom 2, Sunderland 0. Adam Scott is one of 4 in the lead at the Singapore Golf Open by one shot. They're all at 8 under par going into the final day. While in Abu Dhabi, the HSBC Championships, Tyrrell Hatton leads at 13 under, and there are 5 players, including Justin Johnson, one shot back after the third round. Some sad scenes this morning, boys, when Brazilian soccer team Chapecoense returned to the pitch for the first time since last year's air disaster, which killed most of their team and staff. The team played domestic champions Palmeiras in a friendly at their home ground, a 22,000-seat arena, so was chock-a-block, as you can imagine.
Yep.
The game ended in 2-2 draw. Alan Rochelle, one of the only three players that survived. Lots and lots of tears as he embraced relatives of the victims, mainly the wives and the girlfriends. He's in the best shape of the three players that survived, and is hoping to perhaps be playing again in about 6 months' time. But doctors not actually backing him up on that at the moment. One of the other players that survived, their goalkeeper, Jackson Follman, he was actually presented with the Copa Sudamerica trophy, which was the trophy that they were heading to play for. And the other team obviously forfeited the match to give Chapecoense the trophy. So the trophy was presented to him, and he was there in his wheelchair, a neck brace, and he's missing his right leg from the shin down, which is obviously a consequence of the accident. But he's considering becoming a Paralympian, so perhaps taking something out of that. Now, the other player that survived, Neto, I'm not sure if it's Neto or Nito, who actually spent 10 hours in the wreckage before he was rescued, has recently taken his first steps without support. So he's coming back and doing well. You know, he actually swapped seats with someone else on the plane and was sitting next to Jackson Follman at the time. So obviously where they were sitting was one of the better seats, for want of another term. And just lastly, Raphael Henzel, who worked at Chapecoense matches since 2012, is the voice of the team. He was one of the other survivors, spent 20 days in hospital, had 7 broken ribs, multiple scars, and contracted pneumonia whilst he was in hospital. He made it back for the match too. He started back at his radio station just over a week ago, and he returned to the stadium tonight, this morning, to broadcast the friendly, even though his left foot is still in a cast.
Extraordinary.
So they're all coming.
All of the physical damage there, and we can only guess at what the psychological impact has.
You can't. Imagine.
You could never grasp it.
No. Thank you, Tan. Appreciate that. 1353 53, the open line number. A break. Back with Leo Schlink and Peter Cruikshank.
Sky Sports Radio is all geared up for racing on the nation's proudest day. Australia Day this Thursday has racing at Randwick, plus the Blue Diamond previews from Caulfield. From 6:30 Thursday morning, Racing HQ, setting up Australia Day racing on Sky Sports Radio.
All covered, all grounds, all beaten. Franco won the Champion Stakes and lived up to the fight.
International racing at its very best, 7 days a week across the Sky Racing Network.
Little Sydney is back this April at Royal Randwick, where fashion meets flair and fame meets fortune. You never know who you might meet when Sydney's social set comes out to play. Indulge with Sydney's finest eateries and providors, Catalina, China Doll and Victor Churchill, and make it an experience with all the style and glamour you deserve. Don't miss out. Visit www.theatc.com.au and secure your ticket today.
Window shopping takes on a whole new meaning at Wideline.
Take a closer look at Wideline's showstopper of a showroom at Ricebury.
That's where you'll find an extensive range of residential, architectural and commercial aluminium windows and doors.
And you can't look past their timber windows and doors either.
Customer parking and a dedicated kids room make for hassle-free window shopping at Wideline.
Now open at 593 Botany Road, Rosebery.
Only 700 metres from Green Square Station.
Wideline.
The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend is brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the number one VT50 dealer in New South Wales. Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
And welcome back to the show with Jimmy and Ray. Jimmy, yesterday at Randwick, some famous set of colours were back in the winner's circle. Olympic Academy, ridden by Hugh Bowman. The colours made famous by that tough front-runner Court Sensation.
And yes.
Great to see his owner, Peter Cruikshank, back amongst the winners. Peter's been good enough to join us. Pete, good morning, and good tough horse, but great ride by Hugh Bowman to get Olympic Academy home.
Yes, Ray and Jimmy. Look, it was quite a thrill, quite a big thrill and very, very emotional. I realised on Wednesday my daughter Katie and son Mark told me that it was Rebecca Wilson's race named after her. And John Harding and Rebecca, God love her, she passed away last year of breast cancer, as we all know. And the room was packed for John's function yesterday to raise money for the Garvin Institute. And John brought his family down, Rebecca's two boys. Rebecca's mother was there. She's 90. And she was incredibly sprightly. She wouldn't leave the owner's room. She said, no, I'm having too good a time here with the owner. So it was just a wonderful day, boys.
Fantastic.
And Peter, there was a personal touch for you there too, because you knew Rebecca from the farm up at Wallumbye.
Yeah, well, John and I got to know each other the last 10 years, and we share a beer at the local pub. And the kids come in, and we just talk sport. Rebecca, we just always used to talk sport and identities and whatever. It was just incredible. Her insight into all sport was just absolutely amazing. And the kids had so much time for her. It was just incredible.
Hey, Pete.
Sitting around having a beer.
Yeah, Pete, John's an old boss of mine. I know he loves his racing.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Please tell me he did back Olympic Academy yesterday.
Well, look, I really don't... I don't know a lot about John's punting experiences, but he always says he's a roundabout or bad day, you know?
Mate, we're all the same, don't worry.
I did know he had 50 on him yesterday.
What was that?
Yeah, I know he had $50 on him yesterday.
Oh, fantastic, yeah.
Very good.
But he told the room, there were 300 people in the room for the function, and he came down with the boys and mum and everyone, and he said to everyone in the room, just back Olympic Academy. So, look, that's... Ray, and Jimmy, you've got no idea the experience of winning a race. It never changes the feeling, but more importantly, that race yesterday, it was just so... And the feeling after the event was just incredibly beautiful.
Mm.
Words can't describe it.
Mm. Yeah.
Mark, my young bloke, he was just through the roof with excitement and happiness, and he was going to stay in the Gold Coast, and I was going to go to Newcastle, and I said, no, we've got to be there to support John and Rebecca. And it was just incredible. It brings out all the beautiful things in life, you know, all of the other crap that goes going on around our society these days. It was just incredible yesterday. Absolutely amazing, the feeling.
Yeah, it's good to see Hardo back at the track and enjoying himself too, Pete. So.
Yeah. Also, just a personal touch as well, Ray. You know, the guy trained our horses for a long time, and we had a lot of winners with him, and... this is the last winner that guy trained for us, and he won his maiden, Blake Shin rode him at Gosford, on the Thursday, and we sat around the table as you're talking always with Guy. And then the next Thursday, Guy passed away, so it's the last horse we had. Also, fellas, I have found out it was Guy's birthday yesterday.
Yeah, right.
And I did forget. I was reminded over dinner last night it was our 37th wedding anniversary yesterday.
Oh, you reminded, okay.
And I think, Jimmy, you came down and had a couple of beers with us. We're all in pretty good spirits last night, so...
I'll tell you what, the stars aligned yesterday.
Yeah, I'm glad
you
splashed out on Lennon Border that chicken nuggets and chips. That was fantastic.
That was for the grandkids.
Oh, yeah, I thought you were going to spoil it.
We had a hamburger each.
Good on you, mate.
No, look, honestly, thanks for letting me come on. But look, it's the days about Rebecca and John Bordy's fair. You've got no idea. Please, I'm going over it again, but it was just absolutely wonderful yesterday.
Fantastic.
Anyway, it was wonderful. Thank you, fellas.
We're going to roll. We've got Leo Schlink on the line. Congratulations on yesterday's win, and we look forward to Olympic Academy running around again.
Thank you.
Hopefully this time I back it. But anyway, I didn't back it. Yes. 1353 53, the open line number. But yes, Leo Schlink up next.
Whether you want to freight your horse from Karaka to Australia or freight your horse further afield from New Zealand or Australia, NZB Air Freight offers unrivaled service and expertise. Call the team at NZB Air Freight on 02-9667-2250. Choose NZB Air Freight for first-class service at economy rates. Call NZB Air Freight today, 02-9667-2250.
Here at TAB, we know how much you love basketball, and that's why we're giving you live vision from the biggest leagues in both America and Australia. You won't miss a board, bank shot, or buzzer beater, with games streamed direct to your mobile or desktop. Plus, you can follow our odds at the same time and bet live. Start streaming now on the TAB app or on your desktop at tab.com.au. TAB, we love a bet. TAB customers only. Gamble responsibly.
Get a 10% Bingley gift card with any 4K UHD TV at Bingley. Yes, a 10% Bingley gift card with a 4K UHD TV. Here's the deal. Buy a TV with around 8 million tiny dots called pixels on the screen.
Lano, did you count them?
Mum, the tech guys did. And they call it 4K UHD, ultra high definition. Get a 10% gift card when you buy one at Bingley.
And there's a great deal more in store.
For a limited time only. Terms and conditions apply. See bingley.com.au for details.
Hello,
breathing. He fell into the pool and he's...
Last summer, 14 children drowned in our backyard pools.
Hello? 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 Hello?
A moment's distraction is all it takes.
Hi. Hang on, you're breaking up. Can't hear you. Hang on, I'm going to go inside.
Keep watch, no matter what. To learn more, search Royal Life Saving Australia.
The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend is brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the number one BT50 dealer in New South Wales. Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Well, we have had some hot tennis down at the Australian Open. There's only one Australian, well, she's Australian, Daria Gavrilova, has been Australian for the last 14 months, but I'll
doesn't
tell you
matter,
what,
she's still there.
Yeah, I know.
We can cheer for her.
But I tell you what, you like cheering for some of these other champions coming back, including Rafael Nadal, who was absolutely brilliant in a match last night. To give us all the update on that, we speak to Leo Schlink from News Limited. G'day, Leo.
Good morning, Jimmy. Morning, Ray.
The Rafael Nadal, Alexander Zverev game was just... pure sport at its absolute best. And to see as soon as he knew that he had him physically, you could just see Rafa go after him. It's a real insight into the man.
Absolutely. And he revels in that kind of stuff. And look, Alexander Zverev is someone we're going to hear a lot of over the next 10 to 15 years. Just a phenomenal talent. And very much old bull versus young bull there yesterday.
Yeah.
Very respectful match. Two incredible talents, but you're right. As soon as Rafa got it into that kind of physical battle, he was always going to win that match. And it was a sign of Zverev's courage that he was actually able to have that service hold late in the match when it looked like his whole body was seizing up and you thought, well, he's going to lose the game here for sure, if not just go up and shake hands. But he kept going and made Rafa close it out. It was a fantastic match.
Yeah, good morning, Leo. Rafa turned back the clock, but so did Roger Federer in his third-round match against Thomas Berdych. That was some of the most sublime tennis you could imagine playing. But it doesn't get any easier for Federer. He's got Kei Nishikori this afternoon, the fifth seed.
Yeah, that's a tough one. Their first meeting at the Grand Slam level, 4-2 head-to-head advantage to Roger. Just be great to see him continue it. And the winner of this match more than likely goes up to play Andy Murray in the quarterfinals. Andy plays Misha Zverev, the older brother of Alexander. But just great to see Roger back, as I say, Ray. I know you're a huge fan of the Swiss Master. But what he did against Berdych the other night, it was just probably in many ways a perfect matchup for him, because Berdych put so much pace on the ball and such a pure hitter that Roger was able to get into his groove early. And once he got that early break, he's still one of the very best front runners in the sport. And he was able to keep his focus and close out that match. And his serving was just phenomenal. And if he does it against Nishikori, as tough as Kei is, Roger's got a huge chance to win this match.
Bordering on stalking, not just a huge fan. I'm keeping an eye on you from Roger's point of view, just to be careful. Novak Djokovic, Leo, did he just lose a game of tennis, or is it his diet? Is it his lifestyle? Is it his family? I mean, do we read too much into that?
What's happening? Yeah.
Look, you look at him since he had that phenomenal start to the year at the French Open. He was, after he won that, he held all four majors.
Yeah.
He was basically, streets ahead of everyone else, and the rankings gap was almost double to Andy Murray.
Mm.
And from there, it's gone pear-shaped. He did make the final of the US Open. He's went to the finals of the ATP World Tour Finals. He won the first week of the year in Doha. So it's not total misery. It's just by comparison from where he was this time last year to where he is now. And there are all kind of factors at play here. To me, he looks half a step slower than he was at his peak.
Wow.
And I'm not sure what that's about. But he certainly is slower, and you saw against Dennis Istomin, he wasn't on the ball as quickly as he normally is, and his ability to defend is what has made him so good, and he just wasn't getting the depth of shot in there, and Istomin was able to move into the court and dominate. Very few players can do that, let alone someone who's ranked 117 in the world. So there's a lot of work and soul-searching for Novak to do. He'll come back stronger, but there's no doubt that, and he's talked about this, there were some off-court issues that really impacted on his tennis. Boris Becker is no longer there. There's been all kinds of suggestions that they had a disagreement over diet. We know that Novak is obsessed with his diet. He's been gluten-free for a number of years. There's not an ounce of fat on him, really.
He's thin, isn't he?
And he was actually talking about wanting to go all liquid. Boris didn't like it. And Boris was quite critical of him towards the end of last season when he thought he wasn't working hard enough in practice. And of the match the other day against Islam, and he just said he was too defensive, too passive. He put all those things together, and it ends up being a second round defeat. And let's hope he can bounce back, because the sports needs him, you know, right at his top.
Yeah, that was the biggest shock so far, the Australian Open. On the women's side, though, things seem to be rolling on pretty comfortably for Angelique Kerber and Serena Williams, Leo.
Yeah, they do. Serena looked really good against Nicole Gibbs. Angelique Kerber, she's had her moments, but she's getting through, and that's the mark of a really good player and the mental space she's in right now. The interesting one for me was Karolina Pliskova. She should have gone out yesterday. She was down match points against Ostapenko and got through again, survival, and gets to have another shot at her. But yeah, Serena, Angelique, and I think Karolina Pliskova are still the main ones in the draw. You've still got some really tough players there, like Kuznetsova, etc. And you've got Venus Williams going around today. So some really familiar names there as well.
Daria Gavrilova's there, the last of the Aussies. What have you made of the Aussie assault on the Open of 2017? Leo?
The disappointments, you know, obviously Nick Kyrgios with the match against Andreas Seppi. Seppi's franked the form, you know, small consolation. It should have been Nick who was through to this stage. And would have been having a crack against Stan Wawrinka today. Yeah. Bernard Tomic just looked slow against Dan Evans, who deserved to win. Great result by Dan Evans, who's basically come from nowhere, and he gets his chance. Zonga won't find it easy against him. But it's just some really good signs coming through with it. With people like Alex Dimina really like his game. I think 2 years' time, he could be right up there in terms of talking about the Australian number one, number two, pressing up for those kind of honours. And I think he's, you know, he's just got the right mentality, wants to learn, works really hard. Jordan Thompson is someone who just keeps on improving all the time, just works so hard. We've got a few players in the injury ward, James Duckworth, John Millman, Tanasi Kokkinakis. So there's some names there that can actually, you know, go through and get to third and fourth rounds of Grand Slams. But on the women's side, yeah, Dasha is the one that's flying the flag. Disappointing again from Sam Stosur, though, and I think probably a little bit like Novak, needs to go back and just reset and have another crack at it.
Yeah. Hey, Leo, just quickly, Kyrgios's meltdown, if I can put it that way. What was your take on it? You know Nick better than most, and what's your take, and what does he need to do to realise this potential that he does has as a champion tennis player, potentially?
I think, Ray, that two things, mentally and the physical side of things, I think are linked for him. When he feels things physically in a match, I think he maybe goes slightly into panic mode, and you question whether he has the coping tools. But when things get really tough, he doesn't give up, but he just, I think he panics.
Yeah.
I don't think he...
doesn't think clearly, does he, Leo?
No. Yeah, he just goes into this realm where he just struggles to really think his way through it. And you saw with Seppi never lost his cool or his patience. He just kept chipping away until finally the floodgates opened. And for Nick, I think, number one, get himself super fit, and hopefully his body will hold up because of the way he's built. He can be susceptible to the niggles that are really sort of getting at him at the moment. He's got an abdominal issue now, and he's had the knee injury. Get yourself fit, and then on top of that, get the confidence that you can get through seven best of five set matches.
Well, I think we might have lost Leo then. Yeah,
I think we did.
That's an important insight, isn't it? He doesn't mentally have the capabilities to cope with that sort of pressure. And he obviously needs a coach. He needs a mentor.
Of course he needs a coach.
He can't. He's not a talent like a Federer who can just roll along and without a coach. He needs to have someone to do it. But
for him to sit there and say, oh, I'm the only player in the top 100 that doesn't have a coach, if it's not glaringly
address
obvious...
It.
Yeah,
address
exactly.
It
needs
away.
To address yeah. it. I think, have we got Leo back? Hello, Leo?
Yes, guys. How are you?
Sorry, guys. Sorry, Leo. We just
lost
cut out
for
there.
A second,
and it's the key point, because now we've got to say goodbye, Leo. So have a great day again today. You can read all of your stuff all throughout, certainly in the Sunday Telegraph up here in Sydney, and I'm sure all over News Limited newspapers around the country. Appreciate your report, mate.
Thanks, Jimmy. Thanks, Ray.
Thanks, Leo.
Leo Schlink there, the number one tennis writer.
Great insight
for
into the
Houston.
Players.
Yeah, he's good. He's very good. Widespread acclaim on rampaging Roy Slaven and H.G. Nelson yesterday.
I'm not surprised.
On
the
Sporting
best
Probe.
Yeah.
So Leo Schlink got a mention there. There's a Kyrgios market up, actually up for tab.com.au. And Nick Kyrgios to win a Grand Slam in 2017. Yes, wins a Grand Slam. $15. No, doesn't win a Grand Slam. $1.
He's so talented. You just hope that he realises that potential before it's too late.
Well, when everyone else on the circuit says, yeah. he's talented, it's frustrating. You got a sense in that press conference that he was frustrated with it.
Well, maybe that's a turning point.
Hopefully. How many turning points can you have?
But it was him actually admitting that he's got issues and got problems and needs things to change. It's probably the first time he's ever done that.
Yeah. So. Much like this program. Got issues, needs to change.
They'll never change.
Hey, mate, you have a safe flight over there to London.
Thanks so much,
enjoy
mate.
That for Longines.
Text me the producer Jeremy scores, Jimmy, and the tennis scores.
My bet for today, David Warner, high bat out there at the SCG, $3.50.
Usman Khawaja's due.
Usman Khawaja, I think he's $4.50 on that one. So hope everyone has a great day. We'll be back next week. You're back in town next week, are you?
I am. We'll be back here next Sunday.
Jet setting live.